Welcome to Anthony's sermon on why and how God, or how is God, God, part three.
Who made God?
Nobody made God. We talked about it in the first sermon. Before we wrap up this third and final part of the series, we need to review what we learned about God in the previous two installments. Do you all recall the multi-syllable words we discussed to describe God? The first one, Anthony, was He is the uncaused cause. The uncaused cause, which means that God was not created. Right, Anthony? Anthony, right? Yeah? No? Exercising? Did you make a dumbbell? Is that what that is? Second was incorporeal. Incorporeal. What's that mean? Doesn't have a body, not made of matter. Not only not a body, just not made of matter. God is spirit. Omnipresent, what's that mean?
Everywhere.
God is everywhere at the same time. Omniscient? All-knowing? Knows everything? Omnipotent? Don't know? All-powerful? Thank you. And immutable. Never changes, right. Unchanging. God does not change. Ready for the last three divine characteristics? Are you ready? Okay. Because you'll know pretty quickly. Let's dive back in with immortal. What does it mean to be immortal?
Oh, he never dies.
Never dies. Mac Dictionary again, why not? Let's go with Mac Dictionary. Living forever, semicolon, never dying or decaying, colon, and then the example that they give is this. Our mortal bodies are inhabited by immortal souls. Immortal means living forever, never ceasing to exist. And we've discussed it. God has always been, God is, and God always will be. And sure enough, the Bible does say that God is immortal. We actually read both of these references when we learned that God was incorporeal. That the two references we're going to reread today, we actually read in the first sermon about God not having a body. Let's first look at 1 Timothy 1:17. 1 Timothy 1:17. And the second one's going to be in 1 Timothy 2, so don't close your Bibles afterwards. 1 Timothy 1:17. Let me try again. I opened it up to a first, or actually, I'm not going to tell you how bad I was off. Let me get 1 Timothy here. First Timothy 1:17. Now, to the King eternal, what's the next word?
Immortal.
Invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Pretty simple. Our invisible, because he is incorporeal, Lord is also immortal. And that fact is repeated in 1 Timothy 6:15 through 16. 1 Timothy 6, verses 15 through 16. We're there. God will bring this about in his own time. He is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is what? Immortal, and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be the honor and eternal power. Amen. So who alone has immortality? God, right. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. However, Did you notice the second time that Paul mentions that fact to Timothy? He makes it clear that only God has immortality. It says, who alone has immortality? And if that's true, doesn't that seem to conflict with the Mac Dictionary's definition where using immortal in a sentence, it said our mortal bodies are inhabited by immortal souls? So this sermon is about God and not about us. So I'm not going to delve more into that, but I would suggest that logically, if we have immortal souls, then we are immortal. And that would appear to conflict with Scripture. Something to ponder and study. And we can do it ourselves sometime if we want. But I'm just pointing out, the second time it talks about immortality, he tells Timothy only God is immortal. So let's make sure our other theology is in line with that. So, number one characteristic for today was what? God is what? Cisco?
Oh, I know what I
said. What? Somebody help him out.
Immortal.
Thanks. The last two characteristics we're going to talk about with God are a bit different than the first seven that we've discussed. I should also note that even though we'll end up with nine characteristics of the Most High, there's clearly a lot more that could be said about Him. But I figure after 3 weeks on the subject, it's probably good to move on. Our next divine characteristic can be found in 1 John. Again, we're going to stay in 1 John for both of them. Let's start with 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 8. 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 8. First John 4, 7 through 8. Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love, right? Okay, now let's turn. Second one, we're going to do John 4, 15 through 16. John 4, 15 through 16. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and is he in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. God is what?
Love.
Good, you got that one. I like that. So, what's so special about that, Alan? We love too. Because I'm telling you characteristics of God. What's so special? Elisa, do you love anybody? Yeah? Well, yeah, you can see the little one right there. Even when she's cranky, you love her. Michelle, do you love anybody? So what's special about God's love then? You're right, we do love. However, look around you. Just look at the news today. Not unless you want to be depressed. Look at your own self. Look at all the evil in the world. Look at the horrible things that you personally have done, that I personally have done. Yes, we can say humans love, but nobody can say humans are love. Does that make sense? We can say humans love. We can even say certain humans love a lot. But we can't say of any human, that human is love. However, we can say, and Scripture does say, God is love. And that love is not the warped version that we so often see in this world, which is perverted by either lust, self-interest, or I would say often now, virtue signaling. Or somebody wants to show how good they are by saying how they love something. God's love is pure. And I think that even though in heaven, I'd love to have you all as next door neighbors, your love, my love, is not pure, true, and complete. Only the Almighty's is. And only of God can it be said, God is love. God is love. And I don't have it in here, but just remember, true love, for instance, we've read scriptures here where we say, why does God discipline us? Why does the Father discipline us? Because he loves us, right? Okay. Anthony, we're down to the last characteristic. Are you ready for it? Yeah? I told you it was going to be a short one today. The last one is God is worthy. God is worthy. Let's turn to Psalm 18:3. Psalm 18:3. Psalm 18:3. We ready? Okay, well, I'm glad you're looking. Tell me when. When? I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I was saved from my enemies. Do you agree with those sentiments, that God is worthy to be praised? I can confirm to anybody listening on the internet that nobody shook their head no. Of course he is. He is worthy to be praised because of all that we have learned about him. You are the Lord, you alone. You made the heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that are in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you. That's Nehemiah 9:6. Let's turn to Psalm 95:6. Psalm 95:6. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. God is worthy. He is worthy of our praise, but he is worthy of our worship. And only the Lord is worthy. For instance, Exodus 34:13-14 says, he's telling the Israelites to do this. You shall tear down their altars and break their pillars and cut down their ashram. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. And then, of course, does anybody here remember what the first commandment is? I always have to get my count right. What's the first commandment? Does anybody know? Exactly. Exodus 20, verse 3 says, you shall have no other gods before me. This is the crazy thing. There are no other gods. The Bible will talk like there are other gods sometimes because it's saying you shall have no other gods before me, stuff like that. But it also talks about how they're all fake. They are just idols of wood and of stone and of metal. There are no other gods. But do we have other gods in our lives often? Money, lust, fame, food. We can have other gods. And God says none of them can be before him. None of the other gods are worthy of worship. God is worthy, and only God is worthy. Because of all we have learned about him, especially, I would argue, he is worthy because God is love. We've made it. Made it through all 9. So let's go through them real quick one more time. Do you remember what the first one is, Cisco, to put you on the spot? It's the one that Anthony keeps asking, who created God. What do we say God is? The uncaused cause. God was not created. He has always been and will always be. He is incorporeal. What's that mean again? Does not have a body. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. All-powerful, you got it. There you go. He's immutable. He doesn't change. And by the way, like I said last week, That is very important. Because in life, we are used to people who have power over us, and they're fickle, right? God has power over us, but we can trust Him. He is immortal. What does that mean? Lives forever. The interesting thing about it is that even when we think about immortality, how many people in school were taught about the Greek and Roman gods? Yeah, Greek and Roman gods. Often there's still like a creation point. The big difference that I think is you have to go back to the uncaused cause. When you have a habit of saying somebody's immortal, mentally it can mean there's a starting time. There was no starting time for God. He has always just been. And one final comment about that. All those words are finite human words. We cannot imagine a reality without time, can we? Can you imagine a reality without time? Where your watch doesn't click? So everything, whenever we talk about God, like always being, that still is a time-tracked word. We have to actually step back from that and realize God is outside time, looking in. He not only created us, He created time. Okay, love, God is love. And then finally, worthy, God is worthy. Did I miss anything I should have included? Is there anything else about God that you think of that would have been nice to have in the list? I thought about eternal, but that kind of went with immortal and uncaused cause. Anything else you could think of? Because we could talk about trustworthy, but that was kind of an immutable. Faithful, that was an immutable, and love. And there are other characteristics that we would bring about God, but I think these kind of cover them. Do you agree with the last one, that God is worthy? Yeah? I'm glad you said that. Worthy of your worship? Yes. Worthy of your trust? Yes. Worthy of your love? So, final question for you. Ready? You ready for this question? You don't have to answer it out loud. Are you ready for this question, Cisco?
No.
If your answer is yes to God being worthy, what are you going to do about it? You'll have to ponder that. Parents understand the question, right? If you, I'll ask it again. Understand, if you say Jesus is Lord, that means something, doesn't it? And you have to think about what it means. And there are a lot of people who claim that Jesus is Lord, but their lives show something different, don't they? So the question again is this. If you say God is worthy of your love, of your trust, of your worship, the question is, what are you going to do about it?